There we go. Welcome here, everyone. If you could take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew. And we've been singing on the topic here all morning. As we look at the incarnation, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the title of the message this morning is Wise Men Seek and Find. And so for those that have been coming along with us, we've had quite an interesting week as we've looked at the shepherds and we've looked at a number of those that were waiting for this time. And now we'll look at the wise men. And so if you have a Bible with you, you can turn to Matthew chapter 2 and we'll begin in verse 1. And I'll ask if you're able to stand, you'll stand with me as we read God's word and then open with a word of prayer. And so Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 and following through to verse 11, the Bible says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." Let's pray. Father God, we pray that you might give us wisdom this morning, give us understanding from the truth of thy word. Lord, help me as I preach, that I would preach according to the leading of thy Holy Spirit and in things that are in keeping with thy word, and pray that you'd bless each here this morning and that we would glorify thee. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And so, wise men seek and find. We I'm sure, are familiar with this story. You may not have heard it in the King James English, but you certainly are familiar with the story. The wise men followed the star from the east, and they came to worship the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in this passage, I believe there are some things, of course, there's the context of the situation itself. Again, a historical fact. But also within it, we see a picture. The wonderful thing about the Bible is it's just full of pictures. We see Jesus teaching in parables. We see even God the Father in the institutions that he set up, using them as pictures. The nation of Israel itself is a picture demonstrating the faithfulness of God. And we see the sacrifices, a picture of that lamb slain from the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ. And so we see a picture here as well in these wise men who come seeking and find the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see that they're following a star. They're looking to the light and they're following the light. That is emblematic of the true light, the Lord Jesus Christ. We know this from John chapter 1. It says explicitly in verse 1 and following, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And so that true light of the world is Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. And so much as these wise men came seeking the light, so each individual is drawn of God to seek the one true light, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit of God convicts all men of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. Of sin because we are all born sinners. Of righteousness because Jesus Christ, the only one righteous, necessary, and sufficient sacrifice, and judgment to come, because there is a day coming, the Bible tells us, in which the Lord Jesus himself, the righteous judge, shall judge the quick and the dead. No man shall escape that certain judgment. And so, what a wonderful truth in the gospel that Jesus Christ, the very righteous judge that is fit and appointed to judge, is the very same who set aside his glory and came and gave his life as a ransom for us. Can you even imagine it? I don't know if any of you... I used to do a court docket every month when I was a game warden. And, you know, I never once saw that judge leave the bench on behalf of the defendant. And yet Jesus Christ not only wants to be our advocate, he paid the very fine that was due us. The death that we owed, he paid in our place. And that is the essence of the gospel. And so he is that true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And so I want to just bring out a few facts of this this account that we might see how similar that is to the light that draws each man. And so the first point is these wise men were seeking with intent according to the word of God. They came from a long ways away, men from the east, from the Orient. We are to understand from the scriptures that they were Gentiles. They were not of the nation of Israel. They came to see the King of the Jews. They recognized him for who he was. And they came, can I say, they didn't divine tea leaves to find out where he was. They didn't hold a seance. They didn't hold a Gallup poll to find out which way they should go. They didn't, you know, just test the wind to see which way the wind would blow to come and see him. No, it was very, very specific. They wanted the facts. They wanted to see the true King of the Jews. And so they did not seek to follow their own experience, or as some say this day, follow your heart. Though we understand from the scriptures that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? No, they didn't follow their fallible hearts. They followed the word of God. The prophecies told them that Bethlehem was the place. And so, as with us, there is no place for our imaginations when it comes in seeking God. Micah 5:2, this is the prophecy. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee he shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. That's speaking specifically of Jesus Christ. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is truly God. And so we see in verses 5 and 6 that prophecy. They quote in Matthew here, and they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And that wasn't the only prophecy. In Isaiah 42, verses 6 and 7, we see a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant to the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. As well in Isaiah 49, 6, we see further revelation. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee light, give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. And so he has appointed Jesus Christ to be the salvation of the ends of the earth. You know, one of my favorite verses right over my head, Isaiah 45:22, says, "Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." His desire is that the world would be saved, that they would come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who he chose, his own dear son, to be the Savior. And so what an amazing thing for those that knew the scriptures. You know, often Jesus would say, when battling with the religious Pharisees, who trusted in their own righteousness and not in the righteousness of God, he would say, "Have you not read?" You know, the Bible also says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." And so those that knew the scriptures, they had been seeking that light. And how wonderful when that light came. I always think at this time of year, when we're celebrating the Christmas season and the coming of Jesus Christ, Simeon. If you don't know who I'm talking about, I'll just encourage you. In Luke chapter 2, we see Simeon, a devout Jew who knew the scriptures, was waiting for the Messiah. And he was rejoicing in that light that had come, the fulfillment of the promise. And so upon seeing the baby Jesus when he was brought on the eighth day, according to the Jewish law, when he came into the temple, we see Simeon rejoicing. He says here in Luke 2:29 and following, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. As they brought their child in, and there was this man who recognized exactly who Jesus was. And he had been told that he would not die. He was very old. He was told he would not die until he saw the Lord's salvation. And he knew that Jesus was exactly that. But he knew that because he knew the scriptures. We come to Jesus. He says, "Those that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth." And the Bible is truth. Very Jesus himself is the way, the truth, and the life. He said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so they were seeking with intent, and they were seeking according to the word of God. The second part of that is that they sought by faith. How do we know that they had faith? Well, their faith was worked out with their feet. We saw which way they went. Did they believe the prophecies? Did they believe that it was of God? Certainly they did, because they journeyed that way. You know, doing the works doesn't bring about true faith, but do you recognize that true faith will bring about those works of faith? If I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior, and that all men can come to him, certainly I would then go about telling others that Jesus is the Savior. It's only natural. And so we see their faith because they acted upon it. Hebrews 11:6, which I brought up in the introduction, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." I want to bring up another individual, very encouraging, and this is not at the time of the incarnation, but when it comes to diligently seeking, I think of Cornelius. Cornelius was a Gentile, and the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 10, that he was diligently seeking God. And we see, I'll pick up the account here in Acts chapter 10, verse 30. It's Cornelius speaking to Peter. He says, in explanation, because here's the thing. He wanted to know the truth, and God sent the apostle Peter right to his front door. That's how God answers prayer. He'll do it above all we can ask or think. And so he's then speaking with Cornelius. And so Cornelius is explaining. He said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee.' Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. What a wonderful opportunity. And you know, Cornelius wasn't wasting that opportunity. He brought all his friends and family. And we see in verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And so he was given the pure, unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the answer to prayer that God gave. And that's the third point. These men were seeking with intent, according to the word of God. They sought it by faith, which again, without faith, it is impossible to please him. And so then we find on the other side of it, God was found of them. God answered their prayer. We see with the wise men in verses 9 through 11, it says, when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was, pointed directly to him. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. The end of the story is they were brought right to him, and they saw him. Simeon, in verse 30 of Luke 2, he said, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Jesus came right into the temple and was there in his presence. And then Cornelius, Peter giving account later of what happened with Cornelius in Acts 11, 15 and 16 says it like this. He says, and as I began to speak, speaking of this moment when he was preaching to them, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. And so they believed. The Bible tells us that after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That's what it is to be saved, to be born again. It is a moment in time when you have enough information. You know, there's people seeking information and they'll just continue to seek information all their life, but they'll never come to the knowledge of the truth. When we know enough to know that we need to be saved, we need to know that we're lost, that we need him. We need a savior. You know, Mary herself rejoiced in God, her Savior. Some people say that she's sinless, but she herself knew that she had sin and she needed a Savior. And so she rejoiced in God, her Savior. We need to know that we need a Savior and then know that it is him that truly is the Savior, that he paid the price. And when someone trusts in Jesus Christ, that very moment, the Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. God looks upon the heart, and in that very moment when someone stops trusting in their good works, stops trusting in their religious affiliation, stops trusting in their church membership, perfect attendance record, that they read their Bible, that they do good deeds, they stop trusting in all that, all their good works, as though it would pay for 1 second in heaven, and put their trust fully in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what repentance is, to turn from yourself and your own heap of good works, to abandon hope in that and put your hope in trust in the Lord Jesus, who shed his blood and died for us. In that moment, God will recognize that. He knows our hearts. And in that moment, we will be indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God is called the earnest of our inheritance Earnest is a word that means down payment. It's the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. That purchased possession is us. You know, when someone tells you there's great fortune coming, I don't know if you've been getting those emails from that one really rich prince from Nigeria telling you, you just have to send me money. No, that's not how it works. Typically, if it's legitimate, there's a down payment. And if it's $1 million, maybe it's a $100,000 down payment. And when you see that, you have great confidence that the person is good for it. Well, God is good on his promises. And the promise that we ultimately will be redeemed from our sinful flesh and will live with God for eternity in heaven, that down payment is the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, which he gives to everyone that trusts in Jesus Christ. It is the confidence that we have. You know, I don't need anyone to tell me I'm a Christian. I know who I am in Christ because he's dwelling inside me. And I have the peace of God. The Bible, it's the peace of God that passes all understanding. That's a peace that religion can't give you and that religion can never take away from you. No one can ever unsave me, no matter what they say. And so that Holy Spirit is so precious. And we see Cornelius here, it says, Peter says of him, and as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on him, as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And so in this time, we see that Cornelius found the Lord that he was seeking. As a Gentile, he did not know the truth. He knew there was a God, and so he was giving alms and he was praying, you know, I want to know you, God. And God in heaven, it's like, is anything too hard for God? No. He just sent one of his apostles directly to his front door to give him the clear word of God, the gospel, that he could hear it and believe and be saved. And he was saved. You know, God himself says in Jeremiah, again, speaking to Israel, but we can glean from this because Israel is a picture of the believer. You know, when we look at Israel and how disobedient they are and how often they really disobey God 10 times in the Old Testament. Well, that's just me. That's me. I'm not a perfect person. Since I got saved, often I have, you know, oh, I want my own way. Just like a child, you know, well, I know what's right, but I want my own way. And so Israel is a picture of us. And we see here in Jeremiah 29, the attitude that God has, not only toward Israel, but toward us. In verse 11 through 13, it says here, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. That's a promise. If you will search for the Lord Jesus Christ, if you will desire to know him, he will show himself to you. I believe that our service this morning, we're not playing church. I believe this is a divine appointment. Every one of us that are here and hearing the word of God have opportunity to respond to it. Jesus himself said in Luke 11, 9 and 10, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. When we come with a pure heart, desiring to know the truth, not to just have our own suppositions confirmed, but to really know the truth, he will give it to us. In Matthew 11, 28, he also says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I don't know about you, but before I got saved, I had a big burden. I had a burden of sin, guilt, and shame. 27 years. I tried to weigh it out in the balance, try and do something good to set aside the bad. And I had a burden of sin, but I'm happy to say I was able to lay it all down at the cross. He washed me clean and set me free. And he wants that for every man. He said in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You can have that confidence. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning and you want to come to him, again, it's not through Harvest Baptist Church. It's not through a priest or a guru. You come directly to God. Men that believe the truth can come to God at any time and at any place, and He will receive you and give you rest. For those of us that are believers here, and again, I don't want to assume that everyone's a believer. I believe that's very unwise. Even Jesus and His 12 disciples, one was an unbeliever. And so we want to make that encouragement. We don't want to see people go through this season. What a wonderful time to reflect upon this greatest gift that God has given us. But that we would not open the gift. We know what a gift is. A gift is something somebody else paid for and we freely accept it. That's what salvation is. Jesus paid it all. That we sing that song, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. It's not Jesus paid it half, I must pay the rest. And so we receive what He has given us. And He sets us free from the burden of sin. And not only that, He gives us assurance of heaven. I know I'm going to heaven when I die, not because I am good, because I am not. The closer I come to God, the more I realize how wicked I really am. Though any good thing I do in the Spirit of God. Because He's shown me what is right and good, and I want to do what is right and good. And so I want to encourage you to look to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. He desires to give you rest. He desires to give you liberty to go forth and to serve Him. And just like these wise men, if you will seek, you will find. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for this time together to look at the truth of Thy Word. I pray, Lord, that You would speak to each heart, that we would be tender to Your Word, that we would not find ourselves fighting with Thee, but that we would recognize Thy truth. Lord, I pray that in this time to come that we would have good fellowship. And we, Lord, pray that You would continue to do Your work. And Lord, that the word that was preached this morning would find tender hearts, soft ground that would bear fruit to Thy glory. And so dismiss us now with Thy blessing, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, take your hymn books, if you will, in closing. And, we don't do altar calls or anything like that here, but we do encourage you, if God has spoken to your heart, then you can do business with God right where you are. God loves you, and He wants to wash you clean. Let's sing number 550. We can remain seated as we sing number 550 in closing, softly and tenderly. Number 550. Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals He's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. You are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not His mercies, mercies for you and for me? Come home, come home. You are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
The moments are passing, passing from you and from me. Shadows are gathering, death beds are coming, coming for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. For the wonderful love he has promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home.
Let's pray. Father God, we pray that there'd be none that would depart without knowing thy peace in your heart. Lord, that we might be a blessing for anyone that's confused about the gospel, that they might reach out and understand. Lord, I pray you'd give acknowledgement to the truth. And Lord, that we might be an eternal blessing. I'm so thankful for the eternal life that you offer through your Son, Jesus Christ, and pray that that would be an encouragement to us all this morning. Lord, help us now to enjoy fellowship together and to go from here with joy in our heart, knowing there is a Savior and we can find him if we would seek him. Lord, we thank you for all these things and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.